We finished up the series we were in for Christmas and for the Advent season, and today we are going to be talking about being a dependent upon God. And I just want you to think with me a little bit about, you know, we have a small group Bible study, a life group that has young couples in it, and those young couples are starting to have babies, and so one of the couples had a baby and then moved to Des Moines, and another couple is still with us. Lydia and Skylar are here. I don't think they're here this morning, but they have a little Sierra, and just the cutest little thing. But the thing it's interesting to watch parents who become parents for the first time, and all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh wow, somebody is depending on me for their life, for their safety, for everything else. You know, when they come to our home to eat supper, they bring, it seems like, an army of things with them. You know, not just a diaper bag anymore. Now they got the carrier, and they got this thing they lay them on, and they just kind of like, I suppose we did that too, didn't we? Pretty much. We were taking care of our kids the best way we knew how, but they were extremely dependent on us. Now, as children grow older, they become less and less dependent on us, but yet, if you think about it, even into our older ages, there's not a dependence, but there is a dependent relationship that goes on between father and son and daughter and mother and vice versa in there, that we just are dependent on that. And, you know, isn't it interesting that God has placed so many parallels in our lives between the physical of our lives and the spiritual things of our lives, that God is our Father, and we have a Father, and we are dependent on our Father and our Mother, and He wants us to be dependent on Him. And so there is this parallelism that takes place in life between us and God. And so this morning we're going to be talking about being dependent on God out of Matthew 6. And you would know this better as the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer, but that's where we're going to go today. Now, the reason we're going there is because we have just come off of a series where we were dealing with prophecy. Prophecy in the Old Testament, looking forward to the coming of Christ the first time, and then seeing God's faithfulness in that those prophecies and his bringing of Jesus into this world, and then looking to the future and seeing the things that we're waiting for in our lives, knowing God is faithful in those things. And sometimes when you preach on prophecy, there is something that takes place in a congregation, and it's this idea that we start to look forward so far and so long that sometimes we get to thinking, well, it doesn't matter what I do, how I live my life. And so we tend to start to think, well, it's all about the waiting and not about the doing, okay? And so as we move through this, one of the ways we take care of this is we learn to pray. And I placed it on here as we must pray, because this is how we kind of left where we were at. It says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, now concerning how and when all this will happen, the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, dear brothers, he says, we don't need to write to you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord returns quite unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. And then that chapter goes on, and it starts to talk about the idea that we live in the dark, but we're the light, and we shouldn't act like people in the dark. And then it says God chose us to save us, to keep us out of that type of thing. And then he says in verse 11, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. And then he does something really different, because 1 Thessalonians is really all about, much about, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then he starts into a next section where he says this, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. Work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. And then it goes, brothers and sisters, we urge you and warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always tries to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Isn't it interesting that in these particular verses, he stacks a whole bunch of things together, okay? So let's just walk back through those real quick. Like, so first of all, he says, I want you to remember that there are people in your midst who are your leaders, your spiritual leaders. Honor those people. Okay, that's just not pastors. That's elders, that's deacons, that's people who are your leaders, your Sunday school teachers, and the people who lead your Bible studies, et cetera, like that. These people are working hard. Be at peace with them and with each other. And then he goes on and he says, brothers, there are people in your group who are going to tend to be, oh, I hate that, there's that word, lazy. They don't want to do anything for themselves. They want you to do everything for them. He says, no, warn those who are lazy. That's all he says. Warn them about what? I don't know. Not to be lazy, I suppose. Encourage those who are timid. There are people among us who are timid. There are people who need tender care. They're weak. Be patient with everyone. Can I say that again? And maybe you'd repeat it with me, will you please? Be patient with everyone. Oh, I think we need to say that again. Be patient with everyone. There's a reason for that, because there are people who get on our nerves. And we're to be patient with them. And may live in the household with you. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. And then always be joyful. And right in the middle of this list of all things, it says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Don't do things that make him unhappy. Don't scoff at prophecies, test everything. But he says, we must pray. We need to pray and never stop praying. Well, why is that? Why is it that we should never stop praying? Because prayer is an act of dependence on our Father. So let's just take prayer and take it out of this mystical arena, and let's just say prayer is just talking to God. That's all it is. And some people say, well, I don't want to talk to God out loud. Fine, talk to God in your head. I don't care how you do it, but you talk to God. But there's different kinds of prayer. There's private prayer, where you're doing it in your closet, and you're by yourself, and you have a list of things you're walking through, and whether you pray out loud at that time or you pray silent to yourself, it really doesn't matter. But he says, never stop praying. Pray about everything. And then there's prayer that needs to be done in a large group setting, where if we all prayed silently, we would never know when amen occurred. So somebody has to speak out loud in those times. And we're going to do that today. We're going to spend a little time praying with your elders leading this congregation, okay? But it says, never stop praying. And as I thought about this, I thought, well, where would we find the pattern for this? Well, we often say it's right here. It's in the Lord's Prayer. And so we rattle this off. If I ask you to do it right now, you would just start it, and it would just roll off your tongue, okay? But I want to break it down a little bit today. I want to break it down into some sections. So let's walk through this. It says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's the Lord's Prayer the way we know it, okay? Let's kind of walk through this a little bit. We pray, and the reason we pray according to that prayer is because we need God all the time. Not just when you know you're going to drive into a bad storm. Okay, not just when you know things are going bad at home. He says, I want you to pray all the time. I want you to pray about everything that you possibly could have that need to be prayed about. And so as he did that, this is what he says to us. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's talk about that. Why does he say our Father? It's the relationship that we have with God. He is our Father. We are children of God. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for our sins, and we have received that as our own understand, this is my hope of eternal salvation, then he is my Father. He's my dad. He's my spiritual dad. And who's in heaven? That's his residence. That's where he lives. Okay? Now, we also know that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Okay? So our Father is in heaven. the first part of the Trinity, the third part of the Trinity lives within us, and Jesus is at his right hand in heaven with him. So when you pray, the scripture actually says that the Holy Spirit who is within us speaks the words that we can't speak and don't know how to say, and he tells them to the Father. So he is working with us at the same time we're praying to the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so we say, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means holy is your name. Your name is to be set apart and not used in any way that's not nice. Now there's a phrase that's out there right now. It's OMG. Okay? So, oh my God. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's offensive to me. It's just used as a casual statement. Okay? This is, you know, why don't you say, oh Lord. Or, oh my. Or, I don't know, rats. Take your pick, okay? But OMG, what are we saying? We are not hallowing his name when we say OMG, or we use his name in vain. To use it in a way that has no value whatsoever. It's just a common slang term. That's all it is. And so I want to encourage you that Jesus himself, who taught us this prayer, says the name of the Father needs to be revered, needs to be held high, needs to be holy, set apart, lofty, really, really important, like your grandmother's china or your dad's special toolbox that you don't touch because you know that if you touch it, something's going to happen. It's hallowed. It's special. I want to encourage you. Listen to your tone as you talk in general, how you use his name, because he's our Father and he needs to be hallowed. In this prayer, this is the way we pray. We should begin by saying, God, you are really important to me. You are really special. You're everything to me. And then he goes on and he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom's where a king rules and reigns. So in a kingdom, the king has kind of the say of what happens in the kingdom. And what we're saying when we say this is, I want you to rule and reign in your kingdom here in my life, in my world, so that your will be done, just like on earth, in my world, in my community, like it is in heaven. And you say, well, how can that happen? Well, it'll never happen if I don't choose to do something about it, or you don't choose to do something about it. But as each individual starts to say, I want God's will in my community, then it becomes part of our community because we are the community. So we are the church. So if you want your church to be patient and kind and the will of God to be done in the church, then if you don't do the will of God, then you're the one who is odd man out, so to speak. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want your will to be done today through my life with the people that I'm around. That's what it's saying. And then we get to this part. It says, give us this day our daily bread. And that's this idea of provision. Notice that now it's about requesting. It's not about who God is. Now it's about, this is my request for what's happening in our world. So give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Give me what I need for the day, what I need, and forgive us when I sin against you. Just like I forgive those who are around me. And in other places in Scripture, we know that those two are actually dependent on each other. So God says, if you don't forgive the people who are around you who have offended you, then neither will I forgive you. They're connected. And it's kind of, you can kind of see it there. As forgive us our debts as we also have in the past forgiven our debtors, those who have sinned against us. So God links the two. He links humanity with our relationship with him again. So what we see going on among us is really what we see going on between us and God and our Father. These are the places where we give our request. Now let me back up a minute to this one right here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a really great place in a prayer to pray for your nation and your state. You don't have to look too far to realize that our nation is kind of in a mess. We're kind of split, big splits. And there's lots of problems. And I'm not going to say one way or the other. I'm just going to let it sit right there, because we should be praying for the people who govern us. So if you like President Trump or you don't like President Trump, God didn't say, when you like him, pray for him. When you don't like him, don't pray for him. That's not what he said. He's, when you pray for him, pray that God's kingdom, his rule and reign, would be done in our government. God's will in our government, whatever that looks like. All right? So let's go back to where we were. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let me tell you a story. This story is about a man that I've come to know and really love in this church. And Ed, I'm going to use your name. Sorry. But we had been praying in a men's group every Wednesday morning at 6:30 in the morning for, I don't know, years. And every time Ed would sit down and pray, he would pray this prayer. He would pray this. Lord, don't take us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Just keep us away from this kind of stuff. And I thought, Ed, why are you praying that? And then I got to thinking, you know, I need to pray that more often. Lord, would you protect me from evil? Would you keep me away from the temptations that cause me the greatest trouble? Just, would you just kind of keep them away from me? Do you realize if you pray that prayer, he can actually do that? He will actually take away the things that maybe you are struggling with. He says, deliver us from evil. It's his will that we not be delivered into evil, but be delivered from evil. He said, Jesus says, pray for this. Therefore, if I pray for that, then I'm praying according to the will of God, and that means that I'm going to walk in holiness before him, not in evil toward him. And I thought to myself, Ed, thank you for teaching me. This is the body of Christ at work. Everybody teaches everybody. But do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I have started to pray that prayer. Pray it more fluently almost every day. Sometime in my morning, it's kind of like, Lord, keep me from evil. I just don't like being tempted. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you read this in the text, you'll also see there's a little side note down here, and part of my responsibility to teach you is this, is that this was seems to be an add-on to the prayer that Jesus taught. Some think it is, some think it isn't. Okay? So it's kind of a divided theological question here. Okay? I put it in here because I like the concept, because it fits with the prayer. Okay? Whether Jesus actually said this or not, it's in keeping with everything we've already said. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Now, I want you to notice something. Here's a little grammar word for you. Does it say a kingdom, a power, a glory? In other words, one of many? Or does it say the kingdom, the power, and the glory? Now, I know you can read, okay? It says the. It is the only kingdom. That's what it's saying. Yours is the only kingdom, the only power. You are the one with the greatest power. You are the one who has the only glory. And it will last forever and ever. And I want to serve that God. That's the God that I serve. So I'm going to ask my elders who are going to come pray with me to come forward. And the reason we're doing this today is we want to lead you in a prayers of dependence. Now, I'm not going to ask any of you to pray out loud. All right? No, don't want to embarrass you. Don't want to make this a difficult time. But I do want you to, number one, see some of our elders and understand that they're going to pray according to these prayers. And I've kind of divided it up with them. So if you guys kind of get in order how we're going to do this, I'm not going to be in the middle. I'm on the end. So I kind of gave them this prayer kind of broken up a little bit. And so they're going to pray, and as they pray, I want you just to bow your heads, and I want you to pray silently with them. So you're just going to agree with them. And we know that when two or three are in one place, that God is among them, and he's listening. because these prayers are his prayers. And so we're going to pray, and I've given them the latitude, the freedom to just pray along the lines of where the section is, but also whatever the Spirit of God lays upon their hearts. And so would you just bow your heads with me this morning as we pray together as a congregation with our elders leading us.
Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, your name is above every name. Your name expresses love. It expresses beauty. It expresses mercy and faithfulness that is nowhere else. And it's personally directed toward me and toward every one of us here. And so we join together, Lord, in just honoring your name and praising your name. And we thank you, Lord, that you're not only holy and totally other, totally beauty, but you're also our Father, that your Spirit lives within us, and that you care for us, not only in the heavens, Lord, where you reside, but you reside by your Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that lives in everyone who acknowledges you as Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. We start this prayer by praising you and honoring you and humbling ourselves before you.
Father in heaven, you are great, you're awesome, you're Lord of Lords and King of Kings. For over 200 years, you've blessed this nation, and often this nation has turned away from you and has not acknowledged you as its Lord. Just pray that you would continue to guide and direct our leaders of our city, of our state, of our nation, that we would turn to you and humble ourselves before you. Thank you for your goodness to us, and thank you for your blessings, and continue to guide and direct our leaders, our nation, our state, and our community.
Dear Lord, you taught us to say, give us this day our daily bread, because you knew that we are going to be dependent on you every day, that we are going to call on you every day to make it through. Lord, this last year we have seen illness, and we've seen career changes, we've seen family members pass away, and distresses of life. Lord, we can't make it through this day and the weeks without you. The bread of life, Lord, is in your Son, Jesus. And again, we need you every day in our lives. And this next year, we just ask for provision for our lives and to do your will, Lord. Each and every day when we wake up, we ask, what can we do for you today, Lord? And that we're open to those opportunities in our lives to spread your word.
Again, Lord, we thank you so much for all the things that you do for us and continue to do for us throughout these years and these new years. And I just pray, Lord, please protect us from evil, protect our families, protect your churches and your missionaries, and please be with our leaders, help lead and guide them to do your will. And again, help us to gain knowledge through the Bible, to see the traps that Satan sets for us, that we can avoid them. And I pray, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you've shown us your marvelous love. And I pray, Lord, that we would share that with the people we meet throughout our community and at work, and just anybody we meet, that we could share this light with them, Lord. And again, please help us to honor you with the things that we think, do, and say.
Let's remain seated as we sing. Continue in our prayer.
Lord, I come and I Resting here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Song to rise to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need.
God, we cannot do this thing called life without you. And when we do, we screw it up pretty good. Lord, you are our Father. You are the one who to whom we call, the one who we are dependent upon. And Father, I just pray this morning that as we have just walked over something that's so familiar to all of us, we'd be reminded how much you desire your children to come and talk to you. Father, in the same way that we love having our kids come home at Christmas time, you love having us come every day to just say, hi, how are you doing? What's happening? Father, you are really important to me. Thank you for doing all that you do. Lord, would you just rule and reign in my life today? Would you lead us not, lead, take me away from the temptation and keep me from evil? Lord, in everything that I need today, you would just provide what I need. And you'd bring to my remembrance, Lord, the people that I need to forgive. Father, teach me to be patient with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, above all, we just want your kingdom, your rule and reign to happen in our world. And Father, as much as we see that seems like an impossibility, you are still the God who is the one who rules and reigns. So Father, we submit unto you, we depend upon you, we love you, and we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence today through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, three roles, but one mighty, almighty God who we serve. In Jesus' name.